Welcome back to Smart Mouth this week. We are broadcasting from Las Vegas. Thank you to the SLS Hotel for sponsoring this jaunt. We are here today with two of the women from X Burlesque, which is at the Flamingo, Mika Onsted.
Hi.
And Whitney Geron. Hi.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Very well.
Good.
Good. So we were talking earlier about what you had for breakfast, and I feel like you said that you had bacon and eggs and you're also drinking wine. And
yeah.
I feel like you're here to have fun and you're here to eat egg whites and oatmeal.
This is a recent change of mine that I have started eating healthier and working out. And,
okay,
you know, pool season's coming around. I've got to be body ready.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there because you dance in your underwears year-round. So aren't you always bikini ready? Like, what – if you're already starting where you start from, what can you possibly do differently?
Well, the difference between being at a pool and being on stage at X Burlesque is the fact that we don't have stage lights on us. We have a lot of pinks and purples that can kind of hide any sort of, you know – jiggliness that may come about around the holiday season.
Or a little crinkle.
yeah, totally. Whereas, like, when you're at the pool and you're out in the sun, it's just like you're there. There's no hiding anything. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Because what I did want to talk to you guys about is what you eat as professional entertainers. And I even want to say athletes. And I know that you were a gymnast, Mika, as well, right?
I was, yes.
So is there any, like, how did you eat when you were a gymnast?
When I was a gymnast, it was really strict. So a lot of protein, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
They even monitored the amount of water that I would intake, only because your muscle growth would kind of expand or contract depending on how much water you would consume during a workout. They didn't want you to bulk too much.
Okay.
So when I was, I don't know, competing, water was definitely something that was not – or that was monitored.
Were you thirsty a lot?
Yes, but they would switch it from Gatorade to water. So I would kind of go back and forth just to kind of the electrolytes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So they wanted you to have Gatorade for the electrolytes.
Yeah.
To like wake your muscles back up or whatever it
right.
is.
But you couldn't like you would they would monitor your water breaks. So
That is
it was so strict.
Intense.
I also trained a lot overseas in South Africa. That's where I was born.
Okay.
So over there, it was brown rice and chicken a lot. Like, I did not get to really eat anything that had any kind of flavor for a very long time.
Did you feel the absence of flavor in your life?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
How did that make you feel, like, emotionally?
That I didn't want to do it anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that a big part of why you quit?
I didn't quit. I actually injured myself, but I think it was a subconscious thing. You know what I mean? Like, the injury came and I was like, okay, I'm done. Gotta go bye. You know, like it worked in my favor, I guess.
Oh,
I was ready to be done for sure.
So like the day that you were like, oh no, I'm injured, bye. Were you like, okay, now I get to eat for once
It was
in my
sad because I was young, but I definitely made up for the time for sure. I did.
Like how?
I don't know. I kind of dove in head first into the fast food chain thing. Wendy's and McDonald's became my best friend. I was like, but, you know, a thing about being a athlete or a performer, we monitor that ourselves and we're really strict on ourselves about we still get to have fun. But at the same time, we know we got to be on stage. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. So how old were you when you decided that you would be like switch over to a different kind of athleticism?
It was when I got injured in South Africa. I hyperextended my knee. I had a stretched ACL. I decided that, well, I didn't know what I was going to do. So on my plane ride back from South Africa back to the States, I had this like moment of clarity and I was like, well, I have a couple options. I'm either going to go back to college because I graduated at 16, so I was already in college at 16. Go back to college, or I'm going to use what I have, the tools that I have, and use them for stage. And I ended up doing Folies Bergère at 16 years old at the Tropicana as an acro dancer. And so I tumbled my way across the stage and did the can-can and all that kind of stuff. And that was kind of my way into show business.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you still have, like, full range of movement for, like, a normal human. Maybe not for a gymnast, but...
For like, a normal human.
Yeah. Yeah. And Whitney, you said that you graduated high school early.
I did.
Is that, like, a theme? Like...
I don't know. I mean, I just think that I wanted to, I had enough credits and I didn't want to, all of my friends were older than me, so they had already graduated and I didn't want to go to my senior year. So I convinced my parents to let me make up the credits I had. I needed two credits of like government or something that you can only take your senior year. So I took it one semester of it. And convinced my parents, they said, okay, we'll let you graduate early as long as you, in June, come back and walk with your class. And I was like, okay. So I did it, graduated early, and I, like, graduated in December and then was moving here, got a job here dancing in Crazy Girls at the Riviera and started dancing in that at 18 years old.
Okay. So when you started dancing at 18, were you still like, I'm a kid and I can eat whatever I want?
Yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When did that change? Or has it?
I mean, it still hasn't really changed. I still have my moments of, you know, Mika and I will sit at the bar after work sometimes and drink, and then I'll get home and I don't want to have to, because right now I recently started working with a trainer, and which I've felt great ever since, you know, work. I've never really actually worked out. I've always gotten my workout through dancing, you know, mm-hmm. spending 7 days a week at the dance studio and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Growing up. And so this is the first time I'm actually working out, and he gave me like a meal plan to go by, and not only just for my weight or my figure or whatever, but even my skin and my energy levels, like everything is feeling so much better now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I still have my moments of weakness. Like I said, we're all sitting, you know, have a cocktail after work and get home and feel a little extra tired and not have to break out my turkey meat and my asparagus and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make myself a bagel with cream cheese, you know, something which isn't necessarily terrible, but
yeah,
it's, you know, not,
it's a carb.
It's not something you want sitting in your stomach overnight, you know?
It is a carb.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So it sounds like you guys like get to live a little with the food. For
we
sure.
absolutely do. I mean, like I said, we all monitor ourselves, and it's been on very rare occasion that girls actually get put on weight notice here at the show. I mean, we are, like I said, hard on ourselves. So we'll look in the mirror and say, you know what, I like what I see, or I like what I don't, or I don't like what I see. And, you know, okay, time for a diet. Or, you know what, tonight I'm going to have a pizza, uh-huh. you know.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that the dancers, you guys must have like a higher level of confidence than the average woman. Because when just now when you were like, when I look in the mirror and I'm like, I like what I see. I was like, what? That happens? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I feel like when you're constantly on stage or you're being judged by a bunch of people every single night, you have a little bit of body dysmorphia in some aspect.
Definitely.
But, you know, you have to be real with yourself as well. You don't want to be in this industry if you can't handle the pressures, you know.
Yeah. Do you mean body dysmorphia in a bad, like, do you mean it in the sense like you're too hard on yourself?
Yes, absolutely.
For sure.
Okay.
I mean, there's times we come in here and we're like, oh my God, you guys, look how fat I look in this costume. And then the girls were like, shut up, Mika. It's fine. Like, you look fine. You know, but we have those moments of like weakness where we're just like, we feel awful about ourselves. But, you know, the next day you wake up and you're like, all dehydrated because you drank alcohol the night before. So you're like, I look so good today. This is a great night.
Yeah. That's funny. That's really funny. And to what you were saying about how being by the pool can be more difficult than being under good lighting, I think that's, I just can't, that's, I hadn't thought about that. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
it's the sunlight shows everything.
Way more than, you know, well, because it's like, for instance, have you ever sat in your mirror at home and done your makeup and you're like, oh, everything matches perfectly. And then you look at yourself in the mirror in the car or whatever and you're like, my face is orange right now. Like, it looked completely fine when I was like doing my makeup at home and my, you know, bathroom lighting. And then you get into the daylight and you're like, what the heck? My face is two shades darker than the rest of my body. So, you know, it's, whereas here I've come in and accidentally brought like my summer foundation, where it's like the foundation that I wear when I'm tanner. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be under pink lights anyway. You're not going to notice it. So it's, the lights here are definitely more forgiving than sunlight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So in your show, it's a burlesque show, mm-hmm. which I was trying to think about the difference between a burlesque show and a strip show, because I was thinking that burlesque was like what strip was 100 years ago. Does that make sense?
It is. We have definitely taken the, how do you say, burlesque is the art of tease,
okay.
right? Okay, so it's not necessarily taking something off. It's teasing your audience. It's engaging your audience. And yes, articles of clothing do come off during the show, quite a few of them. But it's not the big feathers, and we do incorporate that into our show, but we also try to take it and make it more modern so that a lot of different age groups can relate to what we're doing. So we go all the way back to the boas and the feather era, as well as we've tried to make hip-hop burlesque, if that's even a thing. But you know what? We made it happen. So
okay. All right. Do you have choreographers and people like that who help you? Or
Mika. Mika's a choreographer. Yes.
You are.
Myself and Anthony Cardella.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's back there.
Mm-hmm. we call ourselves Mika-nee.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, you know, the whole Bradgelina thing. We just, that's our choreography name.
Right. Nice.
So we work together. Basically, anytime there's something new, we split it in half. So he'll take a number, I'll take a number, depending on what speaks to us. And then we'll go home and choreograph it, come in, and we'll teach it to the girls. And
that sounds fun.
Yeah. I love being creative, so it's definitely a good outlet for me.
And is having guys come up on stage part of the show?
We have one number where we bring a guy up on stage, yeah.
So just one guy per night.
One guy a night. And then we have other little things where, because we can go down into the audience, like one of our numbers that we have are boas and stuff like that, where we'll go out into the audience and we'll pick a guy or a couple and put our boa around them and kind of, you know, do a little flirty one-on-one moment with them. But as far as bringing someone up onto stage, yes, there is only one number that we go out. We bring a guy, we sit him down on a chair, we roll him around, we bring him behind the curtain, and then next thing you know, he's coming out and he's got, you know, it's called our Mile High number. And so we are all dressed up as flight attendants.
Okay.
And so we bring him up and we say that he's going to become a part of the Mile High Club.
Uh-huh.
And so we bring him up, and then the main flight attendant like brings him behind the curtain and rolls him out, and you think, you know, oh, something's going on back there. And then he comes out and he's passed out. He's got his shirt on. He's got underwear on his head, and he's got an oxygen mask on. You know, it's a fun little cute little kitschy number that we get to. I like it because we get to have a little bit more personality. It's very silly, which is very like classic burlesque, where they all
and you just
have...
never know what's going to happen in that number. You're dealing with somebody who's not part of the show, so you get to play off of it and play to each other. You're like, oh my god, like we've had guys who smell real bad, and we're like, holy shit, this guy smells so bad.
Or like... a guy who's extremely good looking, and we're all looking at each other like, oh hey, I'm gonna shimmy a little closer to him tonight. It's really funny.
Yeah. So that's our number that kind of, you know, you just never know what's going to happen or who the, we have what we call her the white girl because she wears the white costume, but what is, she's like the head flight attendant.
The main flight attendant. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. She goes down and she gets the guy out of the audience and brings him up. So, but you never know who she's going to pick. You know, it might be a couple. She gets, you know, and the wife is totally into it, or she'll grab a guy where the wife is just completely pissed off and she's looking at us like, if you fucking touch my husband right now, like, and we're like, oh god, really, she's
funny.
So mad.
It's really funny.
No.
Yeah, it's very up in the air. But I like it because it's more like old classic burlesque, where a lot of, you know, they had acts and what's the word?
Like whole bits.
Yeah. Like a story that they tell or whatever while they're up on stage. Whereas a lot of our numbers, they're awesome numbers, but there's not much of a story to it. There's a couple that we have, but that's one of our group numbers that is like a whole, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and we all get to play like, oh, now we're coy, and now, ooh, we're surprised. He's coming out without his shirt on, you know, just stuff like that, silly little things, so... I love it. It's very fun.
And when the guy comes backstage, are you like, okay, now pretend to be passed out and we're going to put stuff on you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, it's funny. The girl who normally does it, we don't even know how she does it, but she comes up with, like, she comes out and she's like, this is his name. He's here with his wife. They're from here. We're like, okay, and what's his social security number and his blood type? Because you got so much information from him just back there. But yeah, it's fun.
There was recently a... Craigslist post. Somebody had been brought up from the audience on stage, and there was a guy who posted on Craigslist that said, the redhead that brought me up from the audience and looked into my eyes, I haven't stopped thinking about her. Like, posted on Craigslist as like a way to lure her in. Like, I'm
missed connections on Craigslist is what he posted on.
Okay, so when you get guys coming in here, either in person or later when they post their misconnections, and they're like, we fell in love that night, are you like, okay, dear, pat you on the head, like, this is our job?
She's a lesbian, so.
There is also that.
It's really funny, yeah. No, but it's really fun. Like, I'd say, I think we're really friendly, because we'll sit at the bar right outside our showroom door and have a cocktail every now and again after work, and we're really friendly as far as, you know, you get some girls who guys approach them and they know that, you know, they've been approached by men time after time, and they get approached and they look at them and glare at them and they say, excuse me, I'm having a conversation with my friend right now. Whereas we're honestly, if they're friendly, a lot of times they come up and they're a little bit too invasive on us. And that's when we can say, I'm really sorry, but we're just, you know, we're trying to wind down after the show, if you wouldn't mind. But if they're friendly and they say, you know what, thank you so much for the show, it was so good, you know, if they're friendly, we're going to be friendly back. You know, if they want to take pictures with us, I mean,
we've never said no.
We've sat and talked to some, you know, couples for 15, 20 minutes after the show just because they're so friendly and you can't not.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want them to think that we're the bitchy showgirls who don't want to talk to them after the show, you know?
But does that mean that, do you guys ever get, like, propositioned after a show?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
I've asked to be going to multiple hotel rooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, you know, that's so sweet. Thank you for your offer, but, you know, no thank you.
Yeah. I know.
Like, how do you say no? Like, right. I mean, it's just, like, it's really awkward. It's awkward the whole time you're sitting there. And they're just like, oh, okay, we just think you're so beautiful. I'm like, thanks.
So, like, threesomes?
Yeah.
A lot of times couples. It's couples. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. More than just single guys? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, we get a lot of couples in the audience, yeah. I think. And so I think that they...
It's a way to, like, spice up their life or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're up there, you know, because we will, you know, shimmy and play to a girl at one point. And then next thing you know, we're, you know, pointing to a guy. We have a number where we ask a guy, would you go to bed with me? So we're asking a guy to go to bed with us. And we're shimmying in front of a girl. And so that maybe they're thinking, like, oh, they play for both teams. Right. You know, maybe we can get them to come back with us. And it's just like.
We get it a lot even during our pictures after the show.
That's mostly, yeah.
So, like, you'll get a guy who kind of puts his arm around your waist, but then it goes down a little bit lower, and he's like, do you want to come back to my room with me? And you're like, oh, my God, please stop touching me like that. Picture only. Okay, cheese, bye.
Yeah. I always grab it and lift it up. I'm like, hands up here, fella. Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is that exhausting to have to deal with that?
Yeah, sometimes.
Different opinions here.
It depends. Because I feel like there have been times where it's like, it's been a show where people kept pulling out their cameras, and the ushers and the managers have to keep going and, you know, telling them to put their cameras away. And then next thing you know, we're, you know, we bring a guy up on stage and he's grabbing the girls' asses, and then we're out for pictures, and then you've got a guy. And it's like, okay, really? Like, if it's like multiple things, like in a night or in a week where it's like, is this never going to end? Uh-huh. That's when it gets a little frustrating. But like, honestly, I mean, nothing like that has happened in a while now. So it's like, if somebody were to say it's, you know, no, thank you. Next. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a lot, though. Yeah. Is there, like, a hierarchy in, like, the dancer's world between, like, different strip clubs and different burlesque clubs and, like, ones that are coveted by women?
I would say, honestly, we compete directly with other topless shows on the strip. We don't have anything to do with strip clubs. It's not something that – well, I mean, I don't know. Best of Las Vegas – categorizes some strip clubs in there with us when they try to, how do you say, like, when we're competing for the title.
Okay.
They integrate strip clubs in there, but we won Best of Las Vegas this year.
Congratulations.
So thank you very much.
First place.
Yes.
Yep. Very nice.
But our biggest rival, I think, is Fantasy over at the Luxor.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that a burlesque show as well?
It's a topless review. They don't categorize themselves as burlesque.
Oh, okay.
They have a lot different. I mean, they also have a comedian. We have a comedian that comes out halfway through to give us a break. You know, it's kind of like our, you know, our halfway point who comes out and does a set and everything. So they have a comedian who comes out and everything too. But they also have singers, and their numbers aren't as dancey. You know, we're turning and kicking and getting down on the ground, whereas theirs are a lot more. Just for the show, you know, the girls are very pretty and they're very, I mean, how would you categorize their show?
I would say they're more of a background to their singer and comedian, okay. Whereas we are the show here.
Yeah, right. Totally. Okay. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. And so you mentioned earlier that you train every day. Did I get that right? Or you practice every day?
Well, no. I was talking growing up when I was in the dance studio 7 days a week.
So not anymore.
Not anymore. I mean, we do rehearse here and review over numbers. You know, if things start looking a little sloppy or whatever, you know, Anthony will come into the dressing room and say, all right, girls, you know, we got to go over this, go over that, you know, the timing for this, the timing
looking
for that.
Looking a little lazy tonight.
Yeah. Just so you know, the first moment when you walk out, be sure to, you know, add a little oomph to it and stuff like that. And of course, whenever we add anything new, we're in the studio rehearsing it, and just so we can get in front of a mirror, because otherwise we rehearse up on stage and we don't have a mirror up on stage. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit harder to, you know, compare yourself to everyone else and see if your arm is at the right angle or, you know, anything like that. So, but for the most part, how often would you say we rehearse? It's like only...
I mean, honestly, it's usually Anthony comes in with his, you know,
individual notes
like, hey, this really stuck out to me tonight. So our show stays pretty clean, and all of us girls have been together for 5 years.
Oh wow.
So it's very rare to have a cast that sticks together, doesn't move. You know, we've created this bond, and nobody really wants to move away from it. Like, okay. we have it pretty good over here.
Yeah.
We all get along. Like, it's very rare to find a group of girls
as close as we are.
And there's 9 of us in total, like, that rotated.
So no throwing marbles down on the stage.
No, showgirl status.
No, we get paid to come in. We all sit for an hour before the show. Well, Mika and I sit for about 20 or 30 minutes
because
we're always the last ones in here. But we come and we sit and we get to hang out while we do our hair and our makeup and play dress up and then go perform on stage, which is our favorite thing in the entire world. You know, we get paid to do what we love and hang out with our best friends, and who wouldn't love to do that?
And we literally only work for what, an hour and a half a day?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously the getting ready process is a little bit more time and stuff like that, but actual work is an hour and a half at the most.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So what are your insider tips as people who live in Las Vegas year round? Which restaurants should people actually go to?
My favorite steakhouse in Vegas is the one at Planet Hollywood. What's it called, Ant? Strip House.
Okay.
Yeah. That was my favorite. I've eaten there 3 times.
Uh-huh.
And each time I've gone, it's been unbelievable. So, and you tend to go to a lot of steakhouses because that's what there is to offer, especially on the Strip.
Uh-huh.
But Strip House was definitely my favorite. Cleo over at SLS is unbelievable, so you guys have to try that.
Yeah.
Really good. It's tapa style, but more Mediterranean feel. Really, really, really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
We go a lot.
But that's not healthy. So if you want healthy options,
I don't think that's why people come to Vegas for health.
True.
No.
They don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta if you've got a drunken night, you gotta go to Hash House A-Go-Go. They're open 24 hours. There's one at the Link next door that's open 24 hours. They've got like big obnoxious servings, you know, pancakes bigger than your face that you can get like any combination of like flavors, and you know, Their chicken and waffles is like a tower of waffles with bacon through it.
They charge you a sharing fee. So if you, because they are sharing portions.
They're huge.
If anyone could finish it, I mean, God bless them. But I have never seen it happen.
No.
But I think it's like a $5 or $10 sharing fee that they charge you if you're.
Yeah. But I mean, it's one of those. I mean, there's a Hash House in Reno, but I don't know where else
there's
one
at the M. There's also one here on Rainbow, but that's more of like
a local
spot.
But other than Vegas, are there any other places? Like I said, there's a Hash House in Reno in Northern Nevada, but I don't know. Is it a Nevada thing? Do they have them in California?
It's really called Hash House A-Go-Go.
It's called Hash House A-Go-Go.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But,
there's a couple more.
San Diego and Chicago.
Okay. I've never heard.
Yeah,
sounds
well,
exciting.
it's awesome. I mean,
it's definitely an experience for sure. And they serve alcohol, which is even better.
And we go there once a year. Every time we do the toy drive, the what's the radio station?
98.5, the KLUC toy drive.
We do it every single year where we go and our producers donate money and we go and we represent our shows and everything. And it's kind of become this tradition that every year after we go, because it's so bright and early in the morning, we go, we do the toy drive. And then afterwards, we all sit down and go have a meal at Hash House all together.
Aww,
so
that's lovely.
Yeah, it's fun.
What about bars?
Local spots. Uh-huh. Yeah, we go to, I mean, like I said, we like to drink here, but
we like to play shuffleboard.
Yeah, there's a place called or any place that has fun games, you know, one of the places that we go to a lot is there's a place called Scooters that's in Spring Valley that we go. We can play shuffleboard. Anthony likes it because he gets to choose the playlist. You get to stick $5 in and get to choose like a mini little playlist. You get
Which
to choose
is $5 of Britney Spears.
Yeah. Hey, it's fun. It's better than going in and, you know, listening to some, I don't know, some random burly bar. You know, bartender's playlist, then, you know, it's definitely stuff that we can all, like, dance to. And,
so you can curate your own experience.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. But
there's a couple bars downtown as well. The Gold Spike.
Gold Spike is fun. They've got a lot of fun backyard games. And they also have food. They have a kitchen there that serves, like, 24-hour, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches, BLTs, or, you know, bar food type things, nachos. But they have like backyard games that you can play, like giant Jenga with like 2x4s and beer pong with trash cans and dodgeballs and stuff like that. I want to say there's like one night a week where they have they clear out the back and it's this big giant concrete area where you can roller skate. It's like a roller skating rink that they set up and everything. I'm trying to think of other.
Home Plate is another one that we go to. It's just a local bar. There's not much there. It's just gambling, but the bartender's amazing. Uh-huh. So, you know, we like to go to places where we have a hookup. We don't want to pay for drinks. I mean, isn't
Why would you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're definitely going to gravitate more towards the places where we know somebody.
Yeah.
Or we're going to get, you know, a discount of some sort and, oh, you pay for your food only. Cool. You know.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, we tell them too, you know, hey, anytime that you guys want to come and check out the show, you know, we can hook you guys up with tickets. And, you know, that's the beauty of local spots is, you know, we become friends on Facebook and things like that with them. And then if they ever have people in town and they want to come check out the show, you know, they've helped us out a lot. So, you know, by all means, let us know if you want to come check out the show. And
it seems like kind of a barter economy.
Totally. Yeah.
Trade-offs a little bit.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, like, that's how it is, like, in the nightclub industry and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If you, because I work, like I was talking pool season, during the summertime, I work at, this past summer I worked at Tao Beach at the Venetian. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is, part of our job is once a week we go to different nightclubs in order to fill their club and have, you know, a group full of pretty girls who work at a pool go to this nightclub, and then in turn we'll have on a Saturday we'll have a group of girls from some other nightclub come and sit at a table at Tao, you know. So it's like everyone, you know, you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's fun. That sounds like it.
A lot of the girls in the show also have multiple jobs, like this isn't their only job, you know. There's a girl who works at Hooters. There's another girl who's a talent agent. There's, what else? Oh, cocktail waitresses, you know.
Yeah, a few
nightclubs or pools or, you know, so.
Real estate. There's a girl that does real estate and also does the show. There's girls who do multiple shows. There's girls, you know,
it sounds like everyone's on their hustle.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, I mean, it's
there's a lot of opportunity here.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So what happens when you don't want to dance anymore?
That's a question that you'd have to ask individually, I think. I mean, everybody kind of has their own path for sure. Mm-hmm. I would love to open my own show and continue my choreography. That's something I think I'm destined to do for sure.
Awesome.
You know, Whitney's a bit younger than me, or like a whole decade, but whatever. We're not talking about that.
And the baby.
So it might take her a little bit more time to figure out exactly what she wants to do. You know, I'm kind of at that point now where transition is definitely on the front of my mind. So,
yeah, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I'm, you know, right now I'm loving living and working here, and Like I said, I work at, now that it's not pool season, I cocktail at one of the local nightclubs over at the Cosmopolitan Marquee. So I work there at night, and then I dance here on the nights that I'm not working there. And then come pool season, I'm going to be working at a pool during the day. Uh-huh. So I'm just, right now, I'm just trying to make money, save money, yeah. and hopefully along the way, I'll find my niche and figure out what I want to do.
Whit's got it good because she has a couple other girls in the show who are a little bit older than her. So we help guide her in the right direction. Yeah, and we're like, this is how you do Vegas. We've been here our whole lives. Yeah. Like, hustle, make your money while you're young, and then you can have time to figure out what you want to do later.
That makes
you
know? So much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I've got a room full of big sisters that I can come in and ask advice or complain. And even if I'm not wanting advice, they'll give it to me anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But right. I love it. It's a pretty cool setup for me, for sure. I have a lot of guidance.
That's nice. Can I back up really quick? You said that you cocktail at that bar. Is that the term, like, in the industry, if you are a server at a cocktail place?
Cocktailing is very general because cocktail servers also, you know, you see cocktail servers in the casinos.
Okay.
So somebody who walks around through the slot machines and at the tables mm-hmm. and stuff like that, they're cocktail servers. Mine mainly is bottle service where I work. When you work at nightclubs and day clubs, we don't do a lot of individual cocktails. We do mostly bottle service. Oh. So we're dealing with, you know, high minimums, people who come in and they're required to spend, you know, $1,500 just in that day. And so I'm not dealing with a lot of people. I'm dealing with like four or five tables all spending large chunks of money. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You must deal with a lot of personalities all day.
Yes. Yes. It's a really, really fun people watching at places like that. That's for sure.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Until you get the guy who has cigarette and Red Bull breath and you're like, seriously? Yeah. Just go away. Yeah. Like, quit talking to me.
Yeah. Mika did it for a little bit before.
I lasted 2 months. The money was great, but I was like, I can't do this. This is just not for me. I don't like any of these people that I've ever met. So gotta go.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I can see how that would happen. So I was a little bit afraid that you guys wouldn't eat any food. Like, that I'd say, what do you guys eat? And you'd be like, nothing. And then drinking. But, like, clearly you guys are humans. Which
you have one life, and you have to live it. And I think all of us kind of get that,
uh-huh.
you know? Otherwise, we wouldn't be dancers in a topless show. Like, we're definitely living a very enjoyable, fun-filled life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in Vegas.
I mean, look in the corner. We've got a corner with M&Ms and Reese's and Snickers. We've got a bucket. We've got peanut brittle over there. We've got, you know, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. We're not, you know.
So you're just naturally blessed with fast metabolisms.
No, yeah. I think we watch. We watch what we eat.
We do.
So, like, not
but we
the
do
whole
it in moderation. I think
right.
everything's okay in moderation
yeah.
as mm-hmm, long sure. as you don't overdo it. You know, you're always going to maintain your look. I mean, one day eat completely clean, and mm-hmm. the next day, you know,
whatever.
Hey, I want to eat a Twix. I'm going to go to the gas station and grab a peanut butter Twix, and I'm going to eat it and not feel guilty about it because I ate really clean yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, all in moderation.
And we get paid to do cardio anyway. We come in here and we sweat our faces off, so mm-hmm. it's like, you know, it's not like we're not working otherwise. Like, even if, you know, even when I wasn't, you know, working out or anything like that, I still was in good shape because I come in here and, you know, like I said, I get paid to do cardio. It's
right.
a 90-minute long show and it's go, 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 very fast-paced. We're on stage, off stage, change, on stage. Like, it's just, you know, very fast-paced. There's definitely activity being involved.
Yeah. You guys stay active more than the average person.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on
Of course,
the
it's been a great
Mika
time.
Yeah, this was so great.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And thank you to the SLS for sponsoring this. And thank you to Xburlesque for existing and for you guys
I like
being
when
so
people
rad.
Want to learn about me, you know. It's about me, so.
Absolutely. Everyone, come to the Flamingo. Come see the show. It's nightly, 10 o'clock. It's a good show. I think you guys will enjoy it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Get into it.
Thanks.
Thank you.